Look, big show today, and I personally feel like Adele has really outstayed her welcome in our country. She's ruining cricket.
She's ruined cricket, but Robin's had a crowd. We had a fight about crowds, Robin, but about
and
cricket
I won.
And Adele.
Loved it.
On a technicality, but that's fine. Also, big names in your workplace today, Marto. That was a bit of fun.
Oh, even John English got a run there. Amongst
again, he's getting Kyle too many runs, I think. I think we're going to have to put the kibosh on John English.
Well, he's no longer here, people.
May he rest in peace.
There you go. And also, you are all three of you desperately enjoying the fact that you all wanted a 1950s housewife.
Yeah, that, look, we just the idea of
run
keeping
your
the kids.
Fingers through her perm.
Enjoy the catch up.
Oh my God, what?
That image. Big names in your workplace. They're all over the
place. The big names in your workplace. We want them. Those big names, those big people that have walked into your workplace while you've been doing your normal thing. Blake of Pimpamar, what you got?
We, years ago, working at Caltex at the Hyperdome, back when the Brisbane Lions were a thing, we had Lee Matthews buying his coffee fairly regularly.
Buying his coffee? Wow.
He came in reasonably regularly right up until someone asked him when the Lions were going to win a game.
Ooh,
and then he stopped.
How long after? What are we, mid-2000s?
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah, that early to mid-2000s, mate, when the Lions are just starting to lose everything.
Wouldn't you think Lethal would get his coffee at a coffee shop?
Oh, it was on his way.
Yeah.
The Caltex is right off the highway there, so I think he was looking at path of least resistance.
Convenient.
Do you know, I have proof that Lee Matthews doesn't particularly have a great sense of humour. Way back when I was working at a radio station on the Gold Coast and I had throat issues and I was off air for a really long time. Oh. And so my boss, whose name was Jason Matthews, used to ring or I'd ring him to say, hey, I can't come in today. But because it became such a regular thing over a number of weeks, I started to do stupid things with my phone calls. But unfortunately, on this one particular occasion, I didn't look at my phone properly and I rang Lee Matthews, who I happened to have his number, and started to do a 0055 voice at him.
Beautiful.
In my really croaky.
Like that.
Yeah, and Lee was, not well. Hmm. He wasn't overly.
He would have thought that was Vossy. Vossy's always doing stuff like that to him. He would, I dare you, Vossy.
Vintage Voss.
Is that you?
So then I had to come clean. It was really embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
Great. A backfired gotcha call. An off-air backfired gotcha call. That is
not great.
Hey, Steve, what was the workplace?
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, what was the workplace?
I worked at a golf course in Perth, I met quite a few celebrities. Probably the biggest one was Alice Cooper.
Ooh.
He's a golfer. Traditionally, he is known as a very nice man, that he looks very different without the makeup, and that he's very intelligent. Steve, was that the way you read it?
Absolutely. He was one of the nicest people you'd ever meet. Him and his band came back from golf, being on the golf course. And while they were out there, I called my sister, because she's a fan, and told her. She told me that if I don't get his autograph, I'm a dead man. No. So when he came back, I said hi and I said, look, mate, don't normally do this. I know you're having a break, but would it be okay if I get your autograph for my sister? And he's like, sure. And while he's doing it, I told him that, she said that I'd be a dead man if I didn't get it. And he's like, well, we can't have that, can we?
Oh, yeah, see, he's
nice
great. And you know why, Steve? Because you approached him well there. You see, I know you're on a break. I know you're this. You've done well there, Steve. Alice Cooper, excellent
work.
What
did he sign, Steve? Did he sign a scorecard with a pencil?
No. What we traditionally did if we ever did something like that was we'd go buy a hat from the pro shop. So I think I bought a Titleist hat.
Oh, no. Nice.
Got him to sign that.
Of course.
Anyone else? Tell us about one other. You said you had a lot of celebrities.
Novak Djokovic. I met him very, very briefly. It was pretty much he was just walking in as I'm walking out of the pro shop. He is huge.
Oh, is he?
But at that particular time, probably the person I spoke to the most at that particular was the Hopman Cup. Anna Ivanovic's dad used to come in all the time, I'd chat to him, and that was when I saw Novak.
Now, let's just go through that. That's
Ivanovic.
Adam Scott's former girlfriend's father. That's who we're talking.
Yeah. That's big.
Okay, let's push on.
Shane. Hello, Shane. Where were you working?
I'm just on my way to Toowoomba at the moment, but back in 2015, I was working in a Harley dealership, and Tony Garnier, who is Bob Dylan's bass player for many years, came in and hired a motorbike off us for the day.
That's kind of cool. Did you realise who he was?
Yes, I did, actually. I've been a Bob Dylan fan since I was a teenager, and I've actually seen him a few times. And yeah, and he came in and sort of was introduced to him, and you know, I recognised him, and a lovely guy, really nice guy.
Was he surprised that you knew him?
He didn't know me, but I knew him.
So. You know, I've just googled. Yeah. Bob Dylan, bass player, and Shane's story checks out.
Is he on a Harley?
He's not. He's not on a Harley. Big names in your workplace. They're all over
the place. The big names in your workplace. Oh, Mark from Gympie, you've had a big name come into your workplace. Who is it?
I was working up at a place called the Daintree Palms up at far north Queensland.
Just on the river.
Daintree.
Yeah,
it's Wonga Beach it was at. Anyway, they were filming at the place I was working at a movie called Thin Red Line, and three of the guys that came in there on a regular basis were John Travolta, Nick Nolte, and Sean Penn.
Now, this is famous, this movie, Mark, because it was an absolutely huge all-star cast made by Terrence Malick, and then he kept cutting people out. So there's even what big names that didn't even make it into the actual film. But let's get back. So Nick Nolte, Sean Penn and John Travolta walk into a place. Who picks up the tab?
Oh, they actually took over the whole place. They turned a tennis court into a deck of an aircraft carrier.
Wow.
Through their prop people.
Yeah.
And the whole place was rented out by the movie company, so everything was prepaid, or there was no money ever changed in.
Did you see them on their downtime? Like, did you see them when they were relaxing?
Yes, I certainly did.
What were they doing?
Oh, just having a couple of drinks and just being normal people. I was staying at the Radisson in Port Douglas.
Oh, yes.
Is Sean Penn an angry ant?
No, I think talking to him, they were just, as I said, normal people.
Did John Travolta, did he ever have his rug off, like, or being massaged, either of those?
No, I never saw that, I'm afraid.
He never saw that. Good. Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Let's close our eyes and just think about it. Hey,
thank you, Mark. Excellent
Thanks,
work.
Mark.
Let's go to Louise from Eaton's Hill. Who are the big names that have come into your workplace, Louise?
Oh, well, years ago when I worked for OPSM, my very first job when I was 16 in 86, I worked in the Queen Victoria Building in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I had, I've had Lindy Chamberlain come in. I had John English come in. And we were out the back listening to Billy Connolly tape, and I went to get a cup of coffee, and Billy Connolly came walking towards me in a hot pink suit with black stripes.
Oh, my God. Where do we start?
Well, exactly right. What did they buy? Go through them one at a time. What did Kylie Minogue buy?
Kylie Minogue came in as well. She just came in to get her glasses cleaned, her sunglasses cleaned and checked.
Yeah. What? Hold on. People do that.
Yes, they certainly do. OPSM does it for free. You can get your glasses cleaned and adjusted and they'll do it for you.
So little 16-year-old Louise, what did you say to her?
Hi.
Good start.
Before she was really, it was 86, so it was. She, I think she was still on Neighbours.
Oh.
I don't think she was really.
No, that was Neighbours time. Anything. Louise, let's go to Lindy Chamberlain. What did Lindy get?
Yes, Lindy Chamberlain bought a pair of Christian Dior sunglasses.
Ooh, that's expensive.
I had John English who came and bought a pair of Calera.
We don't care about that. Sorry, stop saying John English. And Billy Connolly. What did he get? Something crazy?
No, he didn't. I was just listening to a tape of his out the back, a comedy tape, and I went out to get a cup of coffee and he was walking through the Queen Victoria Building.
Oh,
he
didn't actually come in.
So she kind of randomly
stared at him, and then he looked at me and stopped and stared, and we were both just staring at each other because I was listening to him, so it was
weird. Technically not in the workplace, but outside the front.
Still counts.
Now, after 8 yesterday, we were talking about makeup and women wearing makeup, and I asked you guys, and you guys said this. Why do girls wear makeup?
Because I believe women do it for women.
Well, I only work with blokes and I've got makeup on. Do you like women with makeup?
I'm always telling my wife, less. Come on, no
really?
Makeup.
I do the same to my daughter.
Constantly.
She wears too much makeup.
So, lots of people called in and said that, you know, our blokes tend not to like their wives wearing makeup. But I found this yesterday and I had to share it with you because it just makes me laugh out loud.
Wow.
In 1955, from the Housekeeping Monthly, they published an article called The Good Wife's guide.
The Housekeeping Monthly.
The Housekeeping Monthly. And there's just one little paragraph, so let's set the scene. Okay, ladies, prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives home. Touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair and be fresh looking. He's just had a lot of work-weary people to deal with and he wants to feel better about himself.
It's just late in the afternoon before the hubby comes home.
Yeah, there's some really cool things I have this. Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is a way of letting him know that you've been thinking of him and are concerned about his needs.
Oh, I'm born in the wrong century.
I'm loving his name.
Okay, no, this one's good too.
Making a lot of sense.
Ready? Be a little gay.
Be a little gay.
A little more interesting for him. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide that.
Oh, wow.
This was legit. Like, this is seriously what they wanted women to do.
Was?
Yeah, what's wrong with this?
No. Just don't. Prepare the children. This is tip number 7.
Oh, yes.
Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they are small. Comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes.
Lock them in their rooms.
No, wait. Children are little treasures and he would like to see them playing their part. Minimise all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, the dryer or the vacuum. Mm. Try to encourage the children to be quiet.
Oh, my God.
It's like a silent... So when he gets home, you've got a ribbon in your hair. It's a silent chamber and there's dinner wafting through. What did you say this was called?
This was called the Housekeeping Monthly, The Good Wives Guide.
Oh, of what year?
1955.
Really?
Because I am sure... that I heard Tony Abbott use this as an election promise a few years ago.
The new AAA.
Ed, you know, I used to tell you about Land Rover, driving my old Land Rover. I used to have, and you haven't seen it, as I sold it, my army car.
I bought it from the army auctions.
All right. It used to be camouflage, but it was part of the Land Rover family. And I'd said to Ed, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I'd drive along and every Land Rover, Defender, not Range Rovers, would wave at you. There'd always be a wave and an enthusiastic one. Never, ever did one miss because it's such a distinctive shape if you drive this car, Land Rover Defender, not just because of the army colours. Anyone, they were orange,
So men and women would wave at you?
Weren't many women driving Land Rover Defenders.
Okay.
But I noticed every single driver. It was a phenomenal nearly three years of my life I drove that car. Got rid of it about a month ago. Really sad.
Okay, let's take a moment.
All right. I now drive a Mahindra, which is the Indian four-wheel drive ute. Very cheap entry point, and that's mainly what I think about in my life. Money, I'm a cheap ass, but wonderful car. Problem is, I have not spotted another Mahindra. It's a distinctive vehicle. Mm. It's out there on its own. Went to St. Lucia the other day to watch some footy. My son was playing, and I saw one in the car park. I went over and I hung around hoping I could meet someone else who had the same vehicle. I know that's desperate for people who have Camrys and stuff. You don't know this feeling, but if you're the only car in Brisbane or you thought you were of your type, I've had no one to wave to.
No.
And I wondered, I just want to ask because I asked a friend yesterday. I said, he drives B doubles. Okay. You know what a B double is?
Yeah, big truck.
They wave at each other, he said. I said, well, I'm really missing it. Yeah. And then he told me about a mate of his who's a Pacific Islander, married to a blonde-haired girl. They wave at each other if they're walking down the street.
That's weird. You lost me.
What does that mean?
That's weird.
I grabbed one.
What, a blonde woman?
A blondie.
What?
This is what people in different tribes wave at each other. I don't think people in Camrys do it. I don't know whether people in combis, I reckon they do it. Do you wave at each anyone? What are you driving at the moment, Ed?
RAV4.
Do you guys wave at each other?
No, but people sometimes wave at me and say, yes, good that you drive a Toyota. And I say, yes, thank you, my very good friends. And then I just start telling them about the unbelievable features of the RAV4.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I hadn't asked. RAV4 is a great car.
I think bugs. I think people who drive Volkswagens and certainly my kids
play punch buggy. But you don't have a tribe. You don't drive to a tribe.
I don't.
That wave at you.
No.
See, I've dropped out of one and I'm feeling a little bit out of it. I want to know if people wave to each other.
Who's because the of their car.
That's good.
God,
just know some signifiers.
It might be a bloke thing, Robin, that we just like to belong to the tribe.
Maybe if you like see someone in a sporting, you know, I mean, like maybe if you see someone, maybe if you're from, I don't know, some sporting club and you see someone else who's out there with a similar piece of memorabilia, do you give them a wave?
You two aren't convinced by this, but I tried to, because I'm on Mahindra. Is red, so I thought maybe there's a red club, so I've been waving at other all-red cars.
You are desperate.
Yeah, really?
I know.
You are desperate.
Well, I've been in this Land Rover club for a while, waving each other. Just ask everyone. It's not so weird if we have a go.
What are little clubs where you give each other a nod? You give each other a wave.
Yeah. Motorbike riders don't call this show because they're riding their motorbike. One of them did contact me and say that motorbike riders nod at each other. They will not nod at scooters, though. Not in the same drive.
Got to have standards. Zach from Morningside, who waves at each other?
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, team. I drive a Statesman and I have two cars, but I have a 20-year-old Statesman. I sort of wave at Holdens and Statesman.
Oh, but you're old Holden, so anyone, two people in an old car, they wave at each other.
Yeah, I drive a 71 AMC too, so it's pretty old and original. Wave at the Valiants and Fords and Holdens.
Are they waving back though, Zach, or is it that embarrassing?
Yeah, no, it's friendly wave back. A few Ford drivers and old Holdens, they wave back.
Yeah, that's a wave. That's a wave every day of the week.
Girls don't do this, do
no.
they?
No. Like, it's this whole subculture that has completely passed me by.
Before we go to Steve, Brendan, what do you do?
Oh, I go for the GWS Giants in the AFL. Not many people Kedron specifically go for them. But there's another guy in Kedron that does a run around the same track that I do. And whenever we see each other, he's wearing some Giants gear, I'm wearing some Giants gear, and we just go. Yeah,
see, that's not weird. Robin, that's okay. Not weird. That's normal.
Give each other a nod. Mm,
that's good. Like respect, bro.
Thank you, mate.
Steve from Carino, what tribe, mate?
Boaties, mate. Of course. Boaties are notorious wavers.
Aren't they? They're over-enthusiastic wavers.
Very enthusiastic. If you're going up Tipler's Passage on Saturday morning, your arm's nearly dropping off by the time you get to the other end.
There you go, Steve. Boaty.
Sometimes you can get three boats with one wave.
Wow. Yeah. Steve, is there any vessel, marine vessel you won't wave at, like jet skiers or something?
No. Well, jet skiers are normally pretty busy with their hands, but no, everyone gets a wave, mate.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Everyone gets a wave. Yeah,
it's, it's like when you're on Sydney Harbour and the Manly Ferry. They seem to like a good wave. They're just the passengers.
Yeah, that's true.
Tony?
Tony's from Ipswich. Which tribe gives each other a wave?
Yeah, another Statesman driver, mate, but we're the newer variety. We have a more of a salute, more of a Australian prestige sort of thing it is.
A Statesman. Oh, you are indeed a Statesman.
Sort of doff your cap. Do you sort of doff your invisible top hat?
Yeah, the bit of the tip of the cap sort of thing, you
can
say classy and everything.
At ease.
Yeah, because you're so classy in that. Exactly right, Tony.
Have you ever seen a Yaris? Like the Yaris drivers driving past each other? Do they salute?
Wicked Camper Vans, they give each other the H symbol, which means, yes, we've got herpes.
Thank you, Tony and Samuel of Moray Field. This is a whole new thing I'm learning. Tell me, who does the tribal wave for you?
We have a truck and dog driver, and all us truck drivers wave to each other. Usually hold the steering wheel in one hand and give them the one finger up, or we give them the gun wave.
What's the gun wave?
It's where you got your hand on your your gear stick, and then you're sort of in a gun motion with your hand. The
your
gun
finger
wave.
Guns.
Finger guns. Yeah, I remember when you were a kid.
Wow. And this is why women don't wave.
With the
Okay. Pew, pew, and you do pew, pew with a finger gun. That's great.
What is that?
Pew. Hello. Pew, pew. So,
can you give us a finger gun, please, Samuel?
One more,
Sam.
No, not from Sam. One more caller.
I thought we were loving that.
Quickly, we've got to get to traffic.
Yes.
John from Capella Bar, what is it? What tribe?
Mate, the caravan wave. Mate, we've travelled from Brisbane to Perth and you wave. You get a bit of a wave before the car goes past you. Either way, otherwise you feel bad if you don't.
As soon as you hit
the towns, mate, they don't. They kind of ignore you.
Yeah, out on the roads.
Out in the country roads, they give you a wave and say, "Yeah, good day."
Well, you got plenty of time to wave. You blokes are going so slowly.
Yeah, come on. Come on, I'm a truck driver by trade.
Oh, well, pew, pew.
Marto and Robin on the new Triple M.
Whenever you hear the phrase, the Greens have suggested, the next thing that you normally hear is, who cares? However, this is something that is going to get a bit of chat today. The current Greens leader, Richard Di Natale, don't mind. I know you're going to talk about how he's got a good left foot because you saw that video of him kicking a ball.
But he does hit it nicely.
Yeah.
He must have played footy at some stage, mate. Okay, push on.
I don't think he did. Maybe they have footy training at the Sea Shepherd. Oh, anyway,
can you imagine Senator Natasha Scott Despoja and him having
Ed,
a kick?
Keep going. Don't let him get distracted.
Solid. I wasn't even going to mention it.
Stop it.
Okay.
The idea is, better off, Robin, are we better off with a four-day working week or a six-hour working day? Here's the kicker. Oh. Even if it meant earning less money in some cases. Greens say this would allow people to spend more time in things that make life worth living, such as family, sport, planting kale, and volunteering.
Right.
Thoughts. Initial thoughts, you two. When you hear the words four-day work week and six-hour day, what do you think?
Hallelujah, I'll take the four-day working week.
Now, what about the lesser pay that comes with it, Robin Bailey?
Okay. I'm all good, although that would quite possibly mean that if my children were also in the four-day cycle. So does this mean schools get 4 days or just me?
There's no mention of school.
Oh, okay. No, I'll take the 4 day. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Then I would have like a whole day of no sport and just doing whatever I like and not having to work.
Sport would expand into that third day of the weekend.
Okay, then I'm getting less interested as we talk.
How many hours a day you got to work for the 4 days?
Oh, no, they're two separate suggestions. So there's one that says, what about a six-hour working day?
Mm.
And I believe there'd be probably no lunch or whatever in that. I don't know. Yeah. Or the or the four-day working week.
Because we could work like 10 hours and work 4 days. Yeah, then you could keep you can keep your pay.
My aim is to work 3 12-hour days. I've seen nurses who do that. It's magnificent. You get 36 hours punched out in 3 days.
The listeners couldn't cope with you for 3 12-hour shifts.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about this job.
Imagine that. Amazing. Midnight to midday.
Personal opinion only. Now,
that'd be amazing.
Listen, there were some nurses when I was in hospital were doing 12-hour days, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
What a treat that is. Like, if you isn't that the way to do it? You got a 4-day weekend.
Police do it like that. Coppers can do it like that. Can the emergency services, yeah.
Oh.
You can. People on shift work can look at you.
Oh.
Did I sound Alan Jones? Yeah,
that's amazing.
So what about you, Ed? Which would you prefer?
I look, this is going to sound strange, but I like work. I like to be at work. I like to go, you know, my friends often complain that I just go to work, then go home and wait for my time to go to work again. Because, I'm very lucky that I get to do exactly what I like to do. So I probably wouldn't like that. I would probably prefer to go to work.
Right.
Okay. No. But the 5 days a week with 6 hours a day.
No, but I work 6 days or some. When the other shows get going in earnest, I do 5 and 6 days a week, and that's not, you know, I don't do as many hours as regular folk who have proper jobs.
Mm. There are people who listen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There are folks that we speak to all the time. You know, that start with us at 5:30, and they're still going, you know, well into the evening. So I'd like to think, I understand what people think about this.
Well, let's ask.
Yeah. Suggestion is the 4 hour work, 4 day work week or the 6 hour work day.
The 6 hour work day is ridiculous.
Well, let's see. Let's see what people want to do.
Past 8, it is Wednesday. Welcome to it. Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M. Top of 29, overcast, showers about. Could be $1,000 richer in just 10 minutes. Naming stuff, winning cash, very simple to do. Stick around to see how to play Marto, Ed and Robin's pressure test. Right now, though, 133353, testing the water of a 4 day working week.
Yes. Do you think it's a good idea? Could it work? The other suggestion is it's come from the Greens and you could get a 6 day work week. I don't know. It does seem like, Robin, Marto, people are working longer hours and more days. This seems like a pipe dream, but let's find out what people
are doing. 30 years ago, we were promised it's all going to be about leisure. It hasn't changed or it's even got worse. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's a choice.
Why did the Greens bring this up? Just trying to curry some favour.
Yeah, I assume so. JT from Boonvale, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I actually like the idea. About 5 or 6 years ago, I worked for a company called AMH. Mm-hmm.
pretty much just a big abattoir out at Dinmore.
Oh, yeah, another one, yeah.
And, yeah, and I worked in coal stores, and we used to have three shifts. They used to have day, afternoon, and weekend. Mm-hmm. And I did the weekend shift, so pretty much it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I still got the equivalent of 40 hours a week pay.
Hmm.
And pretty much then had if I wanted the extra money, I had the option to work another day.
Yeah.
I could do a Monday if I completed my Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shifts. Yeah. So, but if not, I could have Monday or Thursday off just free time.
How long were those shifts for, JT?
I used to start a little bit earlier because I was pretty much sort of like the leading hand. But I'd start at 5 in the morning and was generally out by 4 in the afternoon.
So 11-hour shifts.
Yeah, 11-hour shifts for 3 days. But 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Jake.
You've got to remember, too, when you work in a freezer, because it's so cold, pretty much every 15, 20 minutes, you go out, have a 5, 10-minute break, come back in. So
luxury. Ski instructors don't get to do that.
Okay. RJ of Crestmead, what do you think about the 4-day week or the 6-hour day?
Yeah, I think people are struggling now. They're not getting paid enough as it is. That's why they're doing the big hours and working the many days. But if you cut it back, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hurt, except for the unemployed, which are on the dole and the pension. They don't get affected. But your everyday guys that are working hard and slogging now, they're going to find it a lot harder.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you, Absolutely. RJ. Appreciate that. Daniel from Chapel Hill, four-day work week, 6-hour work days. What do you reckon?
I reckon that's the way to go.
Why? What do you do?
I'm a chef. Currently work about 75 to 80 hours a week.
Oh, God. Righto.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, about 13 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Because you have to or because you want to?
I do get paid for all the hours I work.
That's right.
Which is pretty strange for a chef. But, the freedom to work 6 hours a day, even, 6 days a week would be fantastic.
What do you mean there by pretty strange for a chef? Is there a lot of hours they don't get paid for normally?
It depends if you're on, a salary or if you're, paid by the hour. I know a lot of guys who are on salaries who are working, 80 to 100 hours a week and getting paid for 40.
Daniel, I might as well ask you at this stage. You watch all these cooking shows. What would you say to all those people? Would you warn them away being a chef?
Well, I think with those guys, they're, they've got a few more possibilities, a few more doors are open for them. Obviously, if they do well on the shows, but if you're regular, regular Joe on the street wants to become a celebrity chef, he's probably better off looking at a different profession because you work crappy hours, pardon the French, and underappreciated, overworked. But you're not in the chefing job because you want to make $1 million. You're in it because you love working with food.
Fair enough. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
77% of people said they did want either the 6-hour working day or the 4-day working week, but split down the middle of which one, so they can't decide.
Oh, that's interesting.
Marto, Ed and Robin, it is the new Triple M.
Okay, Robin, now you may not have seen this, but before you joined us, you work at Channel 9, and Marto used to do the occasional, on a current affair, they'd get sort of prominent people to give opinions on things.
Outrage. Oh, okay. They got me in on the Candyman night.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they showed me the footage, and I went, oh, what a top evening. They went, we might not use you for this one, Marto.
Yeah.
But there are a couple where, I tend to agree.
He's past common in the past. And we believe that, much like sporting teams, Robin, television shows and come in and out of form. Mm-hmm. And we've been celebrating that a current affair is on top form at the moment.
So true.
Doing what they do best. This is one that I pulled out from last week. I mean, this is the classic A Current Affair promo.
Battlers versus bludgers. Oh, yeah. Australia's new welfare suburbs. We name the areas with the highest unemployment rates, where families battle to find work, and reveal the doll havens where lazy Aussies go to retire early and live off the taxpayer.
Wow.
Solid. Hooked. I mean, what's it like to be in the A Current Affair orchestra, having to go and play violin?
What a golden vein of form, though. You don't need to watch the show.
No.
You just watch the ads and you know everything that's going on. Well, I know I've got a report back from last night. They are still on fire. They are still the one. They are still they're the best in the business, really kicking some goals, ACA. They're promos department. I don't give a stuff what's on the show. I don't watch it.
You're not a fan of Tracy's necessarily, but for the
promos.
Don't
need to watch the show, but they're promos. Yeah. Last night was an all-time belter. Well done, ACA.
The sleaze of squeeze. Sexual harassment on a stepladder. Lynn's only 4.5 feet tall. And when she climbed up to reach something at work, her boss, Laurie, would grope her bottom with both hands.
She would love to see this.
She's a psychopath.
A current affair.
Oh, I read that bit. Oh.
Who's the voiceover guy? Do you reckon he has to do it like 4 or 5 times because he's laughing so
much? Oh, man. Why that little detail? Let's just go through just a bit of it.
Sexual harassment on a stepladder. Lynn's only 4.5 feet tall. And when she climbed up to reach something at work, her boss, Laurie, would grope her bottom with both hands.
Oh, no, that's enough. Both hands. Like, it wasn't just a single-handed grope. It was a double-handed. Oh, God.
Sexual assault on a stepladder.
Mano, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Her boss, Laurie, would grope her bottom with both hands.
How many?
Two.
The new Triple M.
Oh, Robin. So, Robin, during the morning, when the songs are on and off, sometimes when we're talking, you can sometimes hear that and you got your phone on silent, or you'll take a call like in the ads or whatever. It's always one of your lovely three boys, and the phone, this conversation, I hear your side of the conversation, and it normally goes like this. Hi, love. Where? When? What time? Mm. But your brother's got, yeah, no, I'll sort it out. And then you hang up the phone, and it seems as though that your life is completely governed by the placement and timing of youth soccer in Brisbane.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
that
is
absolutely correct.
Go through Monday night for us.
Okay, so Monday night, but that was a school. So all three of my boys are passionate soccer players, and they play.
That's great.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. They play club and school. So term two is definitely school soccer, and school soccer is now starting to amp up. So they're doing some trial games to sort out their teams. Mm-hmm. So Monday night was at Briggs Road in Ipswich, and I had all three of my boys playing, and I got there at 4:30 and we finished at 9:45.
That's unacceptable.
No, but you got to feel bad because the team we were playing were from the Gold Coast, and they had to get in a bus
at 10 o'clock
after the firsts had finished
and get home.
But tonight, I'm literally...
That's because of school people. They live in the biggest, greatest bubble. They don't realise, people got to go to work tomorrow. They are so insular.
Well, I've just had a text this morning from my middle son because there's a game tonight as well. I still don't know where it is, but it's at 4:45 kickoff, and I think it's only the firsts playing, which takes in the two of my eldest kids.
Right. That's a Wednesday, but wasn't there a Sunday afternoon one?
Like, yeah, okay.
Just so random hours this sport is played.
I just went on Fox Pulse, and for any parent who wants to check out the ladders and where you're playing. So I've got one kid playing Sunday at 10:15, the Holland Park Hawks we're playing. The under-18s are playing at Briggs Road, Western Pride, and the under-15-year-olds playing on the Gold Coast.
Holland Park, Ipswich, Gold Coast.
Saturday, Sunday.
Listen.
What? It's just my life.
I look at other sports and a lot of them are, we train Tuesday and Thursday, 6 p.m., and we'll play on Saturdays at, 1:20.
No,
they seem
not
to have the
works.
Same. This soccer business, there seems to be so much involved, and they seem to have random times. It's ruining your life.
Well, yeah, my under-12-year-old will play either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I never know from week to week.
Random.
How can you plan anything, Robin?
You can't.
If you wanted to go and see some girlfriends or do something or whatever, how could you plan anything to do?
Well, I actually just sent off an email to ask if the manager could pick up my son for the under-15s game on the Gold Coast because I'm supposed to be going with some girlfriends to go and see My Fair Lady. And
ooh,
I can't
dear.
Actually...
Ooh, I'd rather soccer. Yeah, I'll take Gold Coast
every day. Did I lose
day.
You in
Gold
that moment?
Coast
you were right
day.
There with me and then I lost you.
So who else is... This has got to be going on. Who out there is having children's activities governing their life? You know, Marto, it's at these times where I always want to hear from the poor suckers whose little girls and boys are in dance.
Oh, ballet.
Jazz ballet.
Oh, come on, ballet mums and dads.
Ballet into netball. This is changeover period too, where cricket goes into, so some kids have got cricket and footy.
Cricket.
It dominates people's lives.
Thank goodness the head cricket of the river was on the weekend because that means
rowing's
done.
The rowing.
Okay.
Oh, who's, God.
Who's got children's activities governing your life? Come on, tell us about your travel. Tell us about the times. Tell us about the how long you
your
have
only
to
friends
sit there.
Are soccer parents, aren't they?
Well, a lot of them, and some very understanding girlfriends.
Joel's with us. Joel, what do you got, mate?
How are we all this morning?
Yeah, mate, how are you? Did you survive that storm yesterday?
Yeah, we were out of Cobble Creek. It was the worst storm I've seen for years. Yeah,
oh, right. Really?
Right. Yeah, it was shocking. There's trees down everywhere, the house moving around, it was bloody unreal.
As long as you're all safe, mate. Sorry to get that under weather. What do you got? You got some busy kids?
Yeah, I have. We do MMA, mixed martial arts, on Monday and Wednesday, and then Muay Thai on Tuesday, football training on Thursday, Saturday's football pretty much all day, and then we try and go surfing or fishing on Sunday.
And so how old are your children?
Yes.
6 and 8.
Oh, wow, they're little.
Yeah, they're only tiny.
They could be burnt out by the time they're 11.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to do. I want a little right. bit of a life myself.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, you get your fishing on Sundays.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. But it is good to keep them busy, isn't it?
Just Michael from Daisy Hill, tell us.
Good morning, guys. How are you all?
Yeah,
and Robin, I should say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've got two boys that play footy, so it's just touch football and that's on. Then it's school football, and then it's club football. Then they say to you, oh, we're going to try out for the regional team, and you go, geez, I hope they don't make it.
Man,
but I think the worst thing is I have a daughter dancing.
Oh, no.
It's the worst, because it just goes all year. There is no off-season such.
Yes.
And then you have concerts.
Oh,
I have more costumes than you can take a stick at, like ballroom dancing. It's just unbelievable where the costumes that you wear once.
Yep, once. They wear them once. Michael, I've got to jump in. Michael, how many concerts, dancing concerts, would you go to a year?
Oh, look, I only go to the one at the end of the year for Christmas. My wife does all the aesthetics and all that sort of stuff. And
hey, but Michael, can off, go, yeah, sorry. Go on.
To top it off in my family, my wife's the school principal, so then I go all the principals meet. You got principal cluster meetings, you got staff meetings. You've got my life is just school, and I finished school 30 years ago, and I'm still
still there,
feeling for you, mate.
Oh, that's
okay,
rough.
Okay, well, thanks, Michael.
This is really what this is a good example for Ed about to become a parent shortly.
I've told you we've already got a rule. I've told you this off air many times.
Oh, yeah.
If we have a daughter, then there's a rule: no dance. No dance,
oh,
no jazz ballet.
Come on. I'm gonna record this. I'm gonna play it back to you in 5 years' time because if she is a little prima ballerina, you, Daddy, will not be able to say no.
We don't know what we're having but if we're having a daughter, she is not doing dance. I guarantee it.
Derek, you've got a dancer, hey? Derek from Rochdale South.
Yes, I do.
What's it like?
My youngest daughter. she loves the dancing. She does the whole lot. She does jazz. Ballet, contemporary, hip-hop, tap, you name it, she does a lot.
And Derek, the thing is, people don't understand how expensive dance can be too.
It is very expensive, yes. My wife's working 3 days a week as well, just to send her to the school at Sheldon that she goes, and because they've got a huge musical theatre program, but she's musical theatre as well, so she does the ASTA program.
Oh, no, Derek,
musical theatre after school. So today, being a Wednesday, I take her dance stuff with me to work. I'm a carpenter by trade.
Oh, good, Derek, you poor bugger.
I pick her up at 6 o'clock from school because she does the ASTA program after school.
And then
I drop her at dancing.
Oh,
and then I go home and then I pick her up at 8:30 from dancing. So Monday nights, it's 8:30 I pick her up after school, after dancing. Tuesday night, she has off. Wednesday night, she has dancing.
That's enormous.
Thursday night, I pick her up from school at 5:30 because she has musical theatre rehearsals.
Jesus.
And drop her at dance and pick her up again at 8:15 on Thursday nights.
Hey, Derek, quick question.
Yes.
As a carpenter, can you do her hair?
Not very well, no.
I bet you've tried, though, and I bet you had to if she's going to dance.
Sam used the vacuum cleaner one. Have you ever done that one with the vacuum cleaner?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'll let you check
but
it
yeah,
on.
No, yeah, no, like the other gentleman said, there's the dance concert at the end of the year, which, yes, of course, being a carpenter, I'm building props for that.
Of course,
as well.
You are.
Oh, no, you got to build the fake trees for the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Derek.
You are a great. Is he, he's a good dad. That's a good dad.
You've made
isn't
Robin
it?
Feel
That's
better, a... Derek. You are the
yeah,
best dad we've
you
heard
are.
From.
You're awesome.
On you, Derek. Marto, Ed, and Robin on the new Triple M.
Better. Big problems, Robin, and I know that talking cricket pitches is why you moved to Triple M, because you didn't feel as though you were getting that enough where you were before.
I always
in fact,
thought that.
Never. I've never had it.
Bob and Terry never talked about grass growing slowly, did they? Or whether they'd use the heavy or light roller.
But just remember, people, I was the one that brought lawn porn to the table, so I have some sort of credibility when it comes
too.
To grass. Anyway,
board.
Keep going.
Front page of the paper today, cricket officials are warning that if the AFL Women's Grand Final, Brisbane Lions, well done, they've made it, the female
yeah,
team's
well done
made
girls.
It, it's going to ruin the pitch for the first Ashes test. It's already in massive strife, Robin, because of your friend Adele.
Hold on, isn't that on in November?
What?
The test match.
Mate, it's not like India, where you just drop in the worst possible piece of ground and then say, here, bowl on that. Robin, that's a cricket joke. You should have laughed at that. Come
okay.
on. Okay. Yeah, they, we'll put that in later. When this goes,
yes. do it in post.
Yeah.
When this goes to air, that we'll move
sorry.
That.
Sorry, right.
Move that back,
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Keith, stay awake.
Sorry, I'm trying. I just don't understand. What I'm still back in. Isn't the test in November? Like, yeah. why
Robin,
are we worried
Robin,
about
Robin. All right,
it?
That's it. That's okay. it. You and I are going to fall out over this.
Okay.
Were you not at the press conference with me when Chief Curator Kevin Mitchell Jr. said it needed at least 6 weeks to properly take root, and he wasn't talking about Adele? Come on.
What's
so
more
what
important?
Are you, okay, what's the answer to this
no
then? What
more,
do you want?
No more superfluous events at the Gabba
why?
When there are cricket tests, because we're going to lose the Ashes.
Yeah, okay, we're losing everything else.
No, but we're traditionally back having the first test of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we lost
I know this
it.
Is long time in the future, but and if we lose that one, they won't give us any more tests.
Yes.
Because it's a fortress. The Gabba's a fortress, but it's not a fortress for English songstresses with tattoos
excuse
on their back.
Excuse me. How many people go to the test at the Gabba?
More
the
than go to the Adele concert.
Rubbish.
Triple.
Adele was sold
five
out
days.
Twice.
Imagine if Adele went for 5 days. Good Lord. Imagine the traffic then. Oh, there's going to be worries. Adele's playing for
I'm
5
sorry,
days.
I'm sorry, you've got nowhere to go with this. There are far more people
stay
and caring
there.
About
everyone,
Adele
Robin,
we're not
than
no.
you and the oh.
We're not
no,
finished.
Everyone stay there. We're going to have a quick. We're going to cut before the traffic in a moment. Mm. Producers, Brendo, everyone. I don't want to have to do it. Well, I want to be surprised on air. Find out how many people went to Adele, please. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to find out how many people went to the last time there was a test match at the Gabba.
Okay.
And we will settle this once and for all shortly.
Okay. Jeez, I'm Googling. Keep the fingers crossed. Yeah. Maybe Adele won.
8:47.
Maybe it's the Adele Football Stadium.
Shut up, you. Shut up. What are you? Shut up.
So let me give you the figures here.
Hold on. Did we play Pakistan?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah, that's
not fair. 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th and 19th of December. And I have the figures in front of me. No. Okay. The first day, 26,343.
Yeah,
second day, 23,344.
Oh, already to 49, yeah.
Third day, 20,915.
Yeah. Well, that was a good day on a Sunday.
Okay,
69.
Then it all goes terribly wrong.
Yeah, well,
the fourth day, 4,890. The fifth day, 2,593. Man, those cricketers would be hearing crickets.
That's 76,000.
And no one's there.
76,000
people.
78,085
people.
We have a winner.
Adele only got 60,000 people.
Times
tick,
tick,
two. Times two what?
Yeah, there were two gigs.
There were two gigs.
She got twice.
120,000 people. Go, Adele.
Go, no.
Robin Bailey.
Oh, no. Taking it out. You boys can stick your ashes up your jumper.
No. Tough talk.
These figures.
Robin Bailey,
these
mate.
Figures are a bit rubbery somewhere here. I don't
goodness
know
me. Oh,
see, now, it. If you'd gone the BP, like if you'd gone the, yeah,
BBL. Big Bash. That's what
big
I meant. The Big Bash.
Yeah,
that's
and you'd
what
done
I mean.
Those over a couple of days, you might have had a better chance.
No, they were only
sorry.
30,000 as well.
Yeah, but
yeah. What's Ed's punishment?
No, I stand corrected.
He
I
has
stand
to go
corrected.
To an Adele concert.
Oh, God. All right, this means we can't talk for too long about the Indian pitch tomorrow.
Okay.
That's the punishment.
Ooh. I'll put a timer on it.
Too long. Yeah.
Very good. At all.
The new Triple M, Marto, Ed and Robin.
God. You guys remember yesterday we were talking about that tradie shortage, like in the last 4 years, almost half as many tradies as there was in 2012?
Yes.
All right. Then we got a few people ringing because we were going, why doesn't anyone want to be a tradie anymore? And we had a few people going, oh, it's too hard to work, you know, not going to get paid enough, other things are easier, et cetera, et cetera. But we had Warren ring, and he was a refrigeration mechanic, and he was having trouble getting hold of a refrigeration mechanic apprentice, which is, it's a funny old business. We've got Warren on the line. Warren from Coopers Plains. Hi again, mate.
Yeah, morning, mate. How are you?
Righto. So, Robin, what happened after that?
Okay, so after you came on and was telling us about your dilemma, we got a number of people calling in saying that they wanted to potentially be your apprentice. And we've given you those numbers. Have you spoken to anyone?
Yeah, so Scott was kind enough to send through a few phone numbers, and I went through all the ones I had and sort of ranged from, I actually woke one kid up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he was completely unmotivated and still at 17 hadn't tried to get his license. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Straight away, Warren, that one's gone, yep.
Yeah, yep, check. And then, but most guys called and going, oh, you know, I really want to be an electrician. And I said, well, we shouldn't be having this conversation.
If that's what you
want to do, go and do it. You've got to be passionate about you. This has got to do. You've got to know this is what you want to do. And I wasn't going to go down the road of another mature age apprentice. However, I did ring the one you guys gave me on a list, and he was a really nice fella and really motivated. And when you're in your late 20s and married, and you're willing to make that sacrifice, you've got to know that's what you want. And that's what my guy I've got currently. He came on as a mature age apprentice at 28, and honestly, losing him is about as frightening as my wife walking out on me. So, I really appreciate him now. So, I'll talk to him further. So,
Warren, can we put one to you? The $3 or $4 each extra per hour you have to pay a mature age apprentice. That would be worth it to know that his hunger he'll hang on for the whole time, rather than having a young guy who might leave.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I'll put that investment in my last guy, and he's giving it back in spades.
Yeah,
so I'll look down that same road again, because I just can't find that in a younger guy.
Yeah, there was another issue that Robin and Ed were talking about as well, Robin, about who rang us.
Yeah, because a number of parents rang on behalf of their kids, and I'm not surprised that one of the kids you work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because he probably didn't even know his mum had rung.
Oh, I think that was one of them. And I know you noted on them that which ones the parents have rang. I found it really interesting, but I think that's a generational thing where the parents know that this is a great road for them to go down, and there's a great future there for them.
Has anyone heard of global warming?
Yeah, well, that's just it. But the thing is, we live in a now society, and the kids now just go, well, they want it now. I'll get credit. I'll buy a brand new car now instead of starting at the bottom and, you know, starting with, you know, a piece of rubbish and working your way through. They want everything now, now, now. And I think they look at it and go, well, why should I drop down to this sort of money now, and when I can get this sort of, when I can go with Subway and be a sandwich artist for $25 an hour? But the thing is, it's not a career. It's not a future. If they can look past that and look to the future, they'll be laughing all the way to the bank down the track. And they can step onto other things. And it's a great stepping stone into uni if they want to do that course later on. Or there's so many other avenues for them. But it's a great base.
Does your business need a plug, Warren, or are you busy as you need to be?
At the moment, I'm still in the aftermath of just the most ridiculous summer. I was at 27 consecutive days above 30, you know, it's mean point for February. I know, Marty, you love the weather.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, median temperature February, 32.5. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, we're still in the aftermath of that. But, hey, I love commercial industrial air conditioning. Call Cold Services, 1-300-553-120. I'll throw that out there.
That's excellent. All right, Warren, best of luck, mate. Jeez, it's like trying to find a relationship. I spoke to Channel 9 yesterday.
Oh, no.
And they're very excited about Apprentice at First Sight, a new show.
Well, everyone's getting wet today, but Tuesday afternoon, that wicked storm that went through the northern suburbs of Brisbane, I noticed on the news there was one young bloke, he was there, lightning hit his pool area, went through his house. Well, something happened. I've tracked him down. Jack from Cashmere, good morning, mate.
Yeah, mate, how you going?
Explain what happened.
Oh, well, I was at home just for smoko because it was raining, and decided to try and get my 15 minutes of fame and video it. Yeah. And it turns out it actually
hit our umbrella and ricocheted all through the fence and blew a power box off our house and blew a brick through our living room. So
what?
Yeah, so pretty exciting.
How did the brick? Where was the brick? And how did it end up through your living room?
Well, we didn't actually notice until about 15 minutes after because I was outside and we went to look through the window to look outside to where it happened and noticed the brick had come through our actual drywall. So I think the brick must have exploded and freaking come through our wall.
But how does that happen? How does lightning do that to a brick?
I've no idea. I'm not any type of scientist. I'm not too sure, but
Is that you were holding onto your mobile phone? It hits the umbrella around your pool area, travels along the fence, and then into your house.
Yeah. Well, so that's what it looked like it happened. So we had a big hole in our lawn and whatnot, and then the hole straight through our from the outside to the inside of the house.
You're like a live MythBusters. This is incredible, Jack.
Yeah.
Did you get any tingling and no impact on you?
Luckily, no. I was actually standing in the water while it happened, so. Lucky, I guess I wasn't electrocuted, I guess.
God, Jack.
Whoa.
What's the message, Jack? What's your safety message to people out there, Jack?
Live life on the edge and just do what you got to do, mate.
All right, well, that's not what
well, I thought there was the worst
what
safety
did
message
you want
of all
him
time.
To say, Ed?
Not that.
Oh, dear.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks, Jack.
No problem, guys.
Thanks, Evil Knievel. What a guy.